Did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Our children are precious not only to us, but are most special to our great and awesome Heavenly Father. Whether your kids are still at home, or grown and moved out of the house, or maybe even with children of their own, God has extended a personal calling to them through you. I know we all pray for our children daily, whether they are faithful to God's laws and commands or whether they are trying life on their own. God has a purpose for them and desires them to be in His eternal family. Beginning on Monday morning, the camp directors will meet in Cincinnati to discuss the United Youth Camps program. Your prayers are requested for a beneficial 2.5 days worth of meetings for the benefit of the godly offspring mentioned in Malachi, as well as their parents who love raising them for God. My family is in Tulsa today for a Bible study and family meal. Thank you for your prayers to our God on high on behalf of each other. All right, brethren, just real quickly about a update on Alexis Sabin. I know we've been praying for her. Initially, I believe she had a blood infection. And so now, as I understand from Scott, that this young lady is doing much, much better. Back home, regaining her strength. And so on behalf of their family, they deeply appreciate your prayers on behalf of Alexis. Feast of Tabernacles registration. If you have not registered for the Feast of Tabernacles, or if your plans have changed during the summer, please go online at feast.ucg.org and click on registration to update your records. Thanks for your cooperation in this, as it significantly helps with planning for the correct registration numbers. Pastoral change in Michigan. This is from Mr. Victor Kubik. Mr. Malcolm Murray is making a career change and is voluntarily resigning from his role as pastor of the Flint, Ann Arbor, and Detroit, Michigan congregations and from the employ of the United Church of God. Mr. Steve Schaefer will serve as interim pastor for those congregations, but Mr. Murray will continue to serve the Flint in Ann Arbor congregations as a non-salaried elder. Okay? All right. Last but not least, the Oklahoma City Arbuckle Wilderness trip. I guess that's in 2 weeks, starting tomorrow anyway, Sunday, September 24th. Make sure that you mail your finances to the church office. It's got to arrive before the 19th of September. No ham deliveries will be accepted. If you don't send it in before the 19th, but then on Sunday you travel up there and you're going to go through the Arbuckle Wilderness, you will have to pay at the gate, and it is just a little bit more than what the church is directly asking to be sent in at this time. And I deeply apologize. I don't have those exact figures as to how much they are. I would have to go back and look at the exact last week's announcement, I guess. $14.99 if you send it in by the 19th. Okay, it's got to arrive before the 19th, okay? $14.99. $16.99 if it's at the gate. That's a unique figure, $16.99. So, I'm not in charge. All right, brethren. I believe that's all the announcements. We will have a choir practice after services today. About 15 minutes after services, we'll have a choir practice. All righty. Okay, brethren, let's have one more hymn. Then we'll have the sermon message brought to us by an elder in the Church of God. our local elder, of course, Mr. Gerald Cleaver. Page 145 in your hymnals. And please rise. I sing the mighty power of God. Page 145. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountain rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained a sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then proclaimed them good. Lord, how the wonders are displayed whenever I turn my eye. If I serve by the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below that makes thy glory known. In clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there. Very lovely, brethren. Please be seated. Make yourself at home. Now for today's main message, elder in our God's church, Mr. Gerald Cleaver.
I drink from the glass on the left. Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, get real comfortable. Try not to go to sleep. It's going to be a long afternoon. I have a little bit of time, so I have a couple of things I was going to put on the bulletin board, but I didn't. We have the attached October 2016 Beyond Today TV airing schedule. I'll put that back there. We're unable to get it, but we watch it on the internet, see. So we'll put that back there if you're interested in seeing that. Let's see. And also there's a letter from Mr. Kubik. Feast of Tabernacles is a convocation for the entire church, not just representatives of congregations. It's for you and your household. And so we have given careful thought about the inclusion of our children in this wonderful event. So we don't want to forget about our family. If you read about it, and I know you have, this is for your whole family, the Feast of Tabernacles, to learn to fear the eternal. Events that feature travel, good food, entertainment, and finer things of life that become affordable at this time of year. Well, because we save our second tithe. That's why it's affordable. I'll try to remember to put those back there. Brethren, it's great to be here. We've been gone a couple of weeks, and we'll be speaking today about the Word of God. Yes, you could say the title would be The Holy Bible is the Word of God. You know, If you could somehow see in the homes in the Western world, United States probably especially, you probably could find a Bible in that house. Now, when I was young, very youngster, people had these huge Bibles. Does anybody remember them? And they actually, in the early days in Oklahoma, they were actually a legal document. You record your family, children born, relatives, and it could actually be used as a document. Some people didn't have birth certificates back then. I had a birth certificate, so I'm up in years, but I did have a birth certificate. They didn't have to go to the Bible to, hey, yeah, he exists. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you ever seen the old Will Rogers movie, and he goes back east, and they're saying, okay, what's your identification? And he doesn't have anything. And he said, well, then how do we know that you even exist, that you're here? And he said, well, you know, back in Oklahoma, we kind of think if you're moving and you're alive, that you probably exist, you know. But the Bible, all the homes that I knew as a youngster had a Bible, and usually a large Bible. People had the Bible, and usually it would be open. And people lived by the Bible, what they understood to be the Bible. And, you know, even now, politicians still quote the Bible at election time. You know, at election time, they quote the Bible and say things like, well, the Bible made my life what it is. But, you know, you think, well, we don't want to bother about looking at the trail of disaster you've left behind through the years in your political career. But politicians still quote the Bible. And I was driving in from downtown Oklahoma City yesterday. I turned on the radio, and Michael Savage was on the radio. I didn't know he was still around. Who knows? Ever heard of Michael Savage? There we go. There's some. I didn't see anybody under 30 raise their hand. But he read from almost the whole chapter of Micah 6. And he talked about how that applies to what's going on here in our country and why God would be so aggravated at the nation of Israel. And I was quite surprised, you know. And I just happened to turn it on, and there it was. So there are people that have Bibles and understand certain parts of the Bible. But, you know, we've gone such changes since I was a youngster. You know, now the leader of the Western world has said that if we were ever a Christian nation, we're not now. You know, I got to agree with that, almost. Because I can't see that we're standing up as a Christian nation and reading the Word of God. You know, we're just not. We don't consider ourselves a Christian nation. And even went on to quote some passages. And he said, which passage of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go to the book of Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay, but eating shellfish is an abomination? Well, he wasn't trying to preach from the Bible. He was just telling us that how this nation, how it looks at the Bible, the Word of God. Or he said, how about Deuteronomy, which suggests that stoning your child if he strays from the truth. Well, I think, demonstrates how people know the words in the Bible and can read part of the Bible, but they don't grasp the meaning of the Bible. They don't grasp what the Bible says, who it was written to, and why. You know, I was talking to a former member, and they were telling me that, you know, I tried to keep the Old Testament and the laws and the feasts and the Sabbath, but I was always depressed and down because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But now I have found Jesus, and I trust Jesus, and I'm happy. See, this is another not understanding the Word of God. Having the Bible, they had the Word of God right there in their home, their office, wherever they be. But they didn't understand the continuity between the Old and the New Testament. This person couldn't put that together. How does the Old and the New, how do they fit together? See, that's the Word of God. And we're blessed here today being able to put that together and understand the Word of God. You know, Jesus Christ set the example of following the Scriptures. He just set an example there. He followed the Scriptures. You know, as it was like the... He was saying it was the ultimate text in a Christian life. I wonder how many times he quoted the Scripture. I know, I think Paul like 80 times. I really don't know how many times Jesus did. Let's look at John chapter 1. And see, there's such a confusion here about the Word of God. And you'd think, people have Bibles. Have they ever read that? I had a Bible. I grew up with a Bible in my parents' house. I never thought of it or understood it. Didn't mean anything to me. But it says what? In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was, or to be, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same family. Says this Word was with God from the beginning. And in verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. All things, in verse 3, were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and His life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or recognize Him. How many people have read that and didn't recognize what's it saying? This person saying, you know, I tried to do the Old Testament, but now I've found Jesus. That person didn't recognize that that was God. This right here says He with God from the beginning and became Jesus Christ. So, there was something missing there in that person's life. Something very much needed and left them in, as this person said, depressed. And now she doesn't have to worry about that. But, you know, God gives a warning, too, about His Word and the importance of it and using it correctly. We might turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. See, we can go, I think we can see today, we can go to the Old Testament, we can go to the New Testament, and it's going to fit together. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. I'll start in verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe. that you may live and go in and possess the land which the eternal God of our fathers giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you. And we know that during Jesus' time, the Pharisees had added a lot to God's word, but that wasn't all it said here. Nor take anything from it, or take from it. In other words, we'll just pass over that. Maybe that's just in this culture, in this time, we can pass over certain parts of the Bible. No. That you may keep the commandments of the eternal your God, which I command you today. Also in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. We see that as God gives understanding and we study God's word, it begins to just fit together from start to finish. It fits together. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. It says, every word is pure. Or it's like tested, refined. It's found pure. The word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. And he says in verse 6, do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. When anyone who adds to God's word, eventually they're going to be found as a liar. Because God's word is pure and it stands. And it stands and God doesn't change. Lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. So, brethren, let's look at God's word. The word of God reveals God's will for mankind. The word of God reveals God's will for mankind. You could even say God, the word of God is intervention to save mankind. But the word of God reveals God's will for all of mankind. And that's all of mankind. The point I'd like to bring at this time is the whole Bible reveals God's plan of salvation. Yes. The whole Bible reveals the plan of salvation. Familiar scripture to that, of course, would be 2 Timothy 3. As I said before, coming from a we call it a New Testament church. I was having a lot of trouble as God started to open my mind about keeping God's commandments, keeping his law. I couldn't quite put it together. But this scripture was revealed to me. I don't remember just how. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. I'll begin in verse 14. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15. And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. How? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The scriptures, what scriptures were there? There was only what we call the Old Testament. I don't know if Paul realized that he was writing part of the New Testament when he wrote this. But the scriptures were the Old Testament. And then in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is a whole. The whole Bible reveals God's plan of salvation. See, from the very beginning, I won't turn back there, but even in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve had sinned, what God say about to the serpent? That Messiah would bruise his head. Yeah, he was going to bruise Christ's heel, but his head was going to be bruised. So this isn't something that just popped up. This was the beginning of God's revelation. Also, if you would turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Just from my own background, this is what I have found, that so many people stumble over this thing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They can't put this together. They can't see. As the leader of this most influential man in the world, among the smartest people, couldn't put this together. And yet, here we are today, and we are able to put this together. 2 Peter chapter 1, I hope I'm in the right place. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, as his divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. God's word gives that knowledge. Yes, people read that, they get a certain amount of knowledge, but do they really comprehend what they've read? But the whole Bible reveals God's intervention to save mankind, or God's will for mankind. So let's see, I think I was going to read verse 4 too. By which have been given to us exceedingly great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given us all these things pertaining to life and godliness. It's the reason it's important that we be sure we schedule our time to read this book, the Word of God. He's given us great and precious promises that we can learn and understand through God's help to receive the divine nature. This promise came through the Word of God. I saw there on Beyond Today, Darris McNeely was talking about overcoming sin. I mean, this was like a short thing. Maybe it was 5 minutes. And it was so simple. If we fall down, and this person I was talking to earlier that was so depressed, just couldn't grasp this. Yeah, we make mistakes, we fall down. But what do we do then? His point was, you pray immediately. You don't think about, well, you know, tomorrow I need to get to work on this. No, repentance is immediate. It's always easy to put it off. You know, what wasn't it Ben Franklin? What did he say? Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Well, when it comes to repentance, don't put it off till the next minute. Respond to it in repentance. His next point was that prayer should be a habit, a way of life. Pray without ceasing, as Paul said. And of course, that doesn't mean we're walking around with praying every second. But we don't stop praying. We keep praying every day. That's part of overcoming sin. And his other point was, read the scriptures daily. Read the scriptures daily. That is God's word. The whole Bible reveals God's will for mankind. And while we're here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. In other words, when we heed God's word, God's prophetic word, it's like a shining light. What do we read there in John chapter 1? That the light came, but the darkness didn't comprehend it. Didn't see it. And I can surely relate to that in my own life. The light was there. A Bible was there. But I didn't see the light. I didn't understand it. I thought at times, I think I'll read the Bible. I'd start reading pretty soon, you know. Not physically, but mentally. I was off fishing or driving, you know. Oh, yeah, what was that? Okay, I read my Bible today. Yeah. I remember my uncle, every morning when everybody got up, sometimes I stayed over there. At breakfast, before we could eat, he'd open the Bible and read a chapter of the Bible. I mean, we were sitting over there, you know, like, yeah, so what? It didn't mean anything. It didn't to me. And my cousin, I still know him. It didn't mean anything to him, and it still doesn't. Still doesn't mean anything to him. So, anyway, verse 19, we also have this prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in darkness. So if we've been given the light, we need to take heed until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, there's that Scripture again. The only Scripture was the Old Testament. That was all. Is of any private interpretation. In verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man. Well, now that Darwin has been pretty well indoctrinated into most everybody's minds, the Bible's just the will of man. How many authors are there? And no, that's just some man's idea. With all the authors of the Bible, for it all to fit together like it does, that's a tremendous miracle in itself. That many men writing, and it all works from front to beginning. Well, but see, they don't see that because it hasn't been opened. Never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what we hear today. We take it serious. We take the word of God that, hey, this was spoken by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes. Not by the will of men, but is moved by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 12. I don't think that's the one I want. Yeah, in other words, I think I was. This is just something I put in here that people, they almost feel like that certain men, you know, okay, I'll believe that one, but I'm not going to believe this one. But I think Paul must have been having some problem there because he says in verse 12, now I say this, that each of you says, I am Paul, or I am Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? He's asked that question. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized them in my own name. No, the scriptures were by inspiration of God, not by certain men or being attached to certain men. No, that light in the darkness is God, not from any certain men. I think at last year at the feast, Mr. Kubik brought that up in his sermon that, you know, certain people will get a following by coming up, by changing something just a little to make it more appealing. Well, that's not the inspiration of God. No, the scriptures, the word of God, is what we need. We remember back in John 1:5, a light in darkness. A light in darkness. And I remember when it began to be opened to my mind, it was like a curtain being lifted and light began to come through. An understanding began to come through, and I was amazed. And I couldn't explain it to anyone. I tried to, but it didn't work. I wasn't very effective. I've never been able to make a living as a salesman. So, I mean, I'd be out on the street. What was it? What was the singer Jones? Something about he somebody could sell a Frigidaire to an Eskimo. Well, I couldn't sell him a heater, you know. But when that happens, it's a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle that I understood. I mean, that light, when it shined, it was like a miracle to me. And I knew something happened. And you knew something happened. When you started seeing the truth, you knew that this was nothing ordinary, that a miracle happened. No, God's word reveals God's will to mankind. And it's the only way God has to open it up. I'm not saying that men can't read the Bible and get certain understanding. They can. But it's mostly in a physical sense. Another point I had was Jesus set the example of following the word of God. See, so many have the idea, and like this person I was speaking of, that we had God of the Old Testament here, that, you know, stoned children and did all these kind of things. And then we had Jesus, and he was the good guy. But he set the example of following the word of God. He never set out on his own word. Matthew 4, we see that. Matthew chapter 4. And it seems that Satan, it's one thing he wanted Jesus to do, to step out away from the plan of God. And if Jesus would do that, he would be rewarded. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Now, I'll read verse 3. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." So he immediately began to try to insert doubt. If you're the Son of God, you know. And the same he does to us. If that's the truth, then do this and test that. But Jesus answered. But he answered and said, "It is written." Where is it written? That Old Testament. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And he was quoting. I believe that's in Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Let me look if I'm right there. I'm probably not. That's the first time I've ever been wrong. No, it's in verse 3. It's these glasses. I knew they were tricking me, you know. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Eternal. Jesus stuck with the Scriptures. Of course, he inspired them to begin with, didn't he? And another place in Luke chapter, yeah, we were in Luke. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. We see that Jesus again Luke chapter 10, verse 25. I'll begin with verse 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it. You realize how much you've received when God opens your mind? Prophets and kings have questioned this. Why are we here? What scientists are searching always? What's mankind doing here? Why? Man, there must be an alien out there that got us going. How could we get going? No. See, Luke 10:25. Many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Verse 25, behold, certain lawyers stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? There's the question. What do I need to do? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? The law, or the books of the Old Testament. What's written? You have it there. What's written? You're a lawyer. You're supposed to know the Scriptures, or you claim to know. You're a lawyer of the law. And he says, what's written? Of course, he answered, said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So he answered rightly, but did he really understand it? See. Jesus also said that the Scriptures could not be broken. Whereas Jesus, as a human being, he was a creator God. He was with God from the beginning. And from there, he became a human being. Here was God, and then here's God as a human being now. As a human being, he said the Scriptures cannot be broken. Jesus didn't come and start, oh, well, I think I'll change this part. It's okay. You're my friends, so I'm going to give you a special indulgence. You can do this, but the other people can't do it. I'm giving you a special favor. He could not do that and be the Christ. No. If he would have done that, he would not have been the Christ. So let's look at John chapter 10. In times past, there was indulgences were given. Okay. We'll let this do this, maybe for a little payment. Well, Christ, of course, would not do that. No, he said in John 10:35, in In verse 34, Jesus answered them, "It is not written in your law, I said, you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God?" No, the scriptures cannot be broken. Jesus Christ didn't come to break scriptures. And it seems that so many people seem to have that understanding, that Jesus could come and he could break some scriptures. No, that's not. Jesus could not do that as a physical human being. As a Son of Man. How many times did he call himself the Son of Man? The Son of Man, the Son of Man. I've forgotten now, but it was several. No, the Word of God reveals God's will for mankind. And what about the apostles? That then, did they update the scriptures in the sense of, well, we're growing here and those scriptures don't apply over here. Now we've had some new scriptures. No. The point I want to make is the apostles continued teaching from God's word, the scriptures. The apostles continued to teach. Jesus continued to teach. The apostles continued to teach. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Yes. Luke chapter 24, in verse 32. Let's begin in verse 30. "Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them." Jesus has been resurrected. Then verse 31, "Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." And then let's see in verse 32 what they say. "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Jesus opened the scriptures. He didn't change the scriptures. He opened the scriptures. He magnified. What does it say in Isaiah? That he would magnify the law and make it honorable, because the religious people of that day had brought dishonor on God's law and on God's name. Dishonor. He opened to us the scriptures. In verse 45... And let's go back to verse 44. "Then he said to them," now Jesus speaking again, "these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." All things have to be accomplished. And he fulfilled. He fulfilled each one of them. He got it done as a perfect human being. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." See, there's Bibles all over this great nation. But how much comprehension is there? Jesus had to open that so they could comprehend those scriptures. And we have a lot of Bible helps. We have commentaries, and they can add to understanding. They can give us the geography, the culture at that time, which helps. Oh yeah, that's the reason they were doing certain things in that culture and how that applied to that culture. History, commentaries, background information about that particular author or that particular book, who wrote the book, what was going on at that time. This is all good information. But they can't open the scriptures spiritually to our understanding. They can give us some insight. They can give us some helps, a physical thing. But spiritual understanding comes from God opening the scriptures. That's God's word. Here it is printed, and then there's the understanding of that word. There's a lot of controversy, it seems, going on. This nation, it was never Christian, it doesn't believe in the Bible. But I don't know if any of you ever remember Andy Rooney and what he said about the Constitution in the U.S. Well, Andy Rooney from, what was it, 60 Minutes, if you remember. But he said, if you walk up the steps to the building which houses the U.S. Supreme Court, you can see near the top of the building a row of the world's lawgivers. Plato and all, they're all given there. Each one is facing one in the middle. Who do you think would be in the middle? Who's all the law looking at? Who is facing forward with a full frontal view is Moses holding the Ten Commandments. That's on the Supreme Court building that says that we can't pray in school. And we can't, basically getting to the point where they're dictating morality. And he's going on, he said, the two huge oak doors have the Ten Commandments engraved on each lower portion of each door. The Supreme Court of the United States. And also he says, there are Bible verses etched in stone all over the federal buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., we've been there, and it looks like that something has really changed. Not that these people had the scriptures open to them, but they had the book and they could understand the physical things. I mean, there's a whole lot more. He goes on, every session of Congress begins with a prayer by a paid preacher whose salary has been paid by the taxpayers since 1777. So you see, the Word of God's been known in this country, but not really understood. But enough to base a nation's basic laws that are compatible with God. And of course, Satan has always tried to do away with anything of God's word. The early translations, what was it, Wycliffe, translated out of the Latin Vulgate, and all the persecution that could come on men, and death penalties for making the word of God available in English. Satan really did not want this word to be in English. And we have it here in English, and almost every language in the world, maybe. We have the word, plus we have the opening, the understanding of that word, the real, the meaning of it. Spiritual understanding comes from God opening the scriptures. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll begin in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. It says God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So we can begin to understand how a nation had the Bible, homes all had the Bible, but they didn't come to the full understanding. But they did have a physical understanding, same as the nation of Israel. They weren't promised eternal life or the Holy Spirit, but they were held responsible for what physically they were to do. And they end up going into captivity because of totally neglecting that. And we see our own nation, who God had given the word of God to what they could understand, physically speaking, and now deliberately throwing it away and casting it aside. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 now, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. So, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Okay, we have a brain, but you know there's several animals that have bigger brains. And but they're lacking something. See, they don't have the spirit of man. They can't add 2 plus 2. They can't do trigonometry. They can't understand geography, and yet they have instinct that we don't have. You know, they can find their way to places that where we have to have instruments or study the stars. But see, that spirit in man is there. And, so we have domesticated animals, and it seems like that they some of our intelligence begins to rub off on them. Sometimes I think my dog's smarter than I am, because I get manipulated. Of course, I get manipulated anyway. the spirit in man, that gives us something that an animal cannot have. I mean, the animals can begin to catch on, and they look at you, and they begin to put words and sentences kind of together, and no comparison. And let's see, for the man knows the things of man except by the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. So even though man has the human spirit, but when it comes to God's word, he can't. Even so, no one knows the things of God except by the spirit of God. And verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. God can begin to open the mind. He was with the disciples, right? They had certain understanding, but it was limited. And you know, when God's calling you, you can have certain understanding. But you know, until you're baptized, until those hands are laid on you, you're not going to really comprehend in the same way. You have to have that spirit, and that comes through repentance, baptism, and the laying on of hands. Very important part. We can only go so far without God's spirit, even though the Spirit is working with us. Also, the apostles continued to teach. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. In verse 35. I need to give a little background here, the place in the scripture. So Philip sees the eunuch The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. In verse 29, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand? In other words, this is a man who was apparently keeping God's festivals. He was going to Jerusalem. He had the scriptures. He had a certain amount of understanding. And verse 31, and he said, how can I understand lest someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Of course, then the place of the scripture. So in verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture to preach Jesus to him. He began at this scripture. That was in the Old Testament. As Jesus said, you know, they speak of me. He began there. Beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went, in verse 36, went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he was baptized. He said he believed. He had the scripture. He was reading the scripture, but he couldn't really come to that comprehension. He could believe, but he had to be baptized. And he had to receive God's Spirit. And of course, many other places that Paul, I think he referred to the Old Testament like 80 times. He said in Romans 4:3, what does the Scripture say? What says the Scripture? He said, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He referred to the Scripture. And he's accused of denying the Scripture in some organizations, and doing away with the law, doing away with this, doing away with that. And that's not the truth. Because we see also in Galatians 3, I would like to turn there, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Now they continued to preach from the scriptures, the only scriptures that they had at that time. They had Jesus' words. They remembered those. But the scriptures was from the Old Testament. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, the scripture has confined it all under sin. This is what scripture had to be from the Old Testament. Well, one example, we could turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. And Solomon, the dedication, was praying. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 46. I'll begin in verse 45. And here's Solomon, prayer of dedication. And he says in verse 45, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. And you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to the land of the enemy in afar or near. Yet when they come to themselves, when they wake up, when they realize, what am I doing? When God allows them to understand, when they come to themselves in the land where they're carried captives and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong. We have committed wickedness. Well, when we commit wickedness, when we sin, hopefully we don't wait till we get carried off in some terrible situation. But as Mr. McNeely said, don't waste time. Repent then. Repent and start on the road to redemption. Also in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, I think I should read that. Romans 3, 23. What does it say there? It says, Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short. That's what we're facing. Without God's Spirit, we mostly, many times, just pass over sin and keep going. But we that know the Scriptures, we must not do that. No, we need to go ahead and admit the sins and to keep our minds in the Word of God. There is a continuity between the Old and the New Testament, and it's plainly there. And as far as the Church of God, hearing and doing are key characteristics of God's people. Hearing and doing are key characteristics of God's church. We don't just hear. We do. Hearing and doing. And so many are able to hear, but it doesn't really sink in what's going on. Hearing and doing are key characteristics of God's people. In Luke 11, 28, what did Jesus say? Let's just look. Luke 11. Verse 28. Well, I'll just go back in verse 27 just for the little background here. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed are the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said in verse 28, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's where we're going. We're hearing, and many hear the word of God, but it doesn't dawn on them what it means to keep it. No, they don't. Because we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing comes by the word of God and then faith. And through God's Spirit, opening our minds to understand the real intent and purpose of that word. What did the Bereans do? They searched the Scriptures. He said they weren't like some other people. They searched the Scriptures to see. And they had that attitude that God then could open their minds. So important to read the Word of God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. It's important every day to get refreshed in the Word of God. Because He's made it available. If God had not made it available, I guess we wouldn't be accountable, would we? Certainly in this time, in this nation, and the technology that we have, God's Word is available. If you don't have a Bible, you can go to the internet and read the Bible. You can just think, well, I think this scripture, where is that? You can just type in what you remember it, and it brings up the scripture. I mean, that's unbelievable. You know, that this technology, and what was the first thing printed by the printing press? Wasn't it the Gutenberg Bible? I mean, it was in Latin, wasn't it? You remember? I think that's all he had was Latin, but it was printed. We saw that Bible somewhere, but I can't remember where we were. And I think it toured in the United States for a while. But the first thing was printed by the printing press was the Bible. And now the technology, you can find most anything in the Bible through the internet. You can find a lot of other bad things. That's a lot of bad things that you're not even looking for that just have a way of showing up. And so, anyway, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. It says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. God's word is a cleansing effect. You know, sometimes you might go to bed at night. As soon as you lay down, all these things start coming. Oh, what I should have done, what I could have done, what I got to do tomorrow. What all these things happen. Well, you know, sometimes you just have to get up and go open the Bible and start reading it. And it's like giving you a wash job. It starts cleaning those things out of your mind. And like I've heard, there's nothing like reading the Bible to put you to sleep or listening to a sermon. But it is. It's a soothing. It's a soothing. It's a refreshing of the mind, God's Word is. And it's a great blessing that we, you know, that we have this opportunity to not just be able to see the words, but to understand the intent and the meaning. The Word of God reveals God's will for mankind. We're so blessed to have it in print, to have it, you know, look at all the booklets we have. We have it on television. We have it on internet. And I hope that that God will say, well done. You took advantage of what I gave you. Instead of wasting our time, I don't mean that we can't see a movie or watch. I don't mean that. I mean, though, using our time to read God's Word. The Word establishes doctrine. That's what we believe in the United Church of God. God's Word establishes doctrine. That's one of our beliefs. You know, so-called New Testament church, they lack the understanding of God's purpose and plan for all mankind. Do you know any of them that understand what's going to happen to the people in North Korea? Well, that young man, he wouldn't allow, you know, if the Bible's found, you could end up, you and your family, if not killed, imprisoned. Remember the story of the Bible in the bird nest? That's where they were hiding it in North Korea. They put it up in a bird's nest, and then somebody turned them in. Yeah. That's what a lot of this world's like. We don't always realize how blessed we are. Know that we don't have that kind of a dictator. You know, but all the Bibles that are have, yet how many really understand what's going to happen to the North Koreans, to the Chinese, to people that don't have Bible, that don't have a chance to understand God's Word. We have that knowledge here in God's church. It's a tremendous blessing. Remember what it said in 1 Timothy. Was it 1 Timothy 3:17? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what we look for in God's Word. God's Word sets us apart. It sets us apart, no question about it. And it cleanses us. The Church of God, the United Church of God, maintains the biblical mandate to rely on God's Word in its quest for the truth. This church relies on God's Word for the truth. That's where we put our confidence. That's the reason we as a church are here. Bible teaches and it sets us apart. Tremendous blessing to be set apart. So the Word of God reveals God's will and His will for all mankind, not just for a few.